And now Chapter 17 of the Antya Lila, the bodily transformations of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
I am simply trying to write about Lord Gaurachandra's transcendental activities and spiritual madness, which are very wonderful and uncommon. I dare to write of them only because I have heard from the mouths of those who have personally seen the Lord's activities. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra. All glories to all the devotees of the Lord. Absorbed in ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted and talked like a madman, day and night. In the company of Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once passed half the night talking about the pastimes of Lord Krishna. As they talked of Krishna, Swarup Damodar Goswami would sing songs exactly suitable for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental emotions. Ramananda Rai would quote verses from the books of Vidyapati and Chandidas, and especially from the Gita Govind by Jayadev Goswami, to complement the ecstasy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At intervals, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would also recite a verse. Then, in great lamentation, he would explain it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed half the night experiencing varieties of emotions. Finally, after making the Lord lie down on his bed, both Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai returned to their homes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant, Govinda, lay down at the door of his room, and the Lord very loudly chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all night. Suddenly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the vibration of Krishna's flute. Then, in ecstasy, he began to depart to see Lord Krishna. All three doors were fastened as usual, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great ecstasy, nevertheless got out of the room and left the house. He went to a cowshed on the southern side of the Shingadvar. There the Lord fell down unconscious among the cows from the district of Tailanga. Meanwhile, not hearing any sounds from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda immediately sent for Swarup Damodar and opened the doors. Then Swarup Damodar Goswami lit a torch and went out with all the devotees to search for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After searching here and there, they finally came to the cowshed near the Shingadvar. There they saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lying unconscious among the cows. His arms and legs had entered the trunk of his body, exactly like those of a tortoise. His mouth was foaming, and there were eruptions on his body, and tears flowed from his eyes. As the Lord lay there unconscious, his body resembled a large pumpkin. Externally, he was completely inert, but within, he felt overwhelming transcendental bliss. All the cows around the Lord were sniffing his transcendental body. When the devotees tried to check them, they refused to give up their association with the transcendental body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The devotees tried to rouse the Lord by various means, but his consciousness did not return. Therefore, they all lifted him and brought him back home. All the devotees began to chant the Hare Krishna mantra very loudly, and after a considerable time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regained consciousness. When he regained consciousness, his arms and legs came out of his body and his whole body returned to normal. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood up and then sat down again. Looking here and there, he inquired from Swarup Damodar,
Where have you brought me? After hearing the vibration of a flute, I went to Vrindavan. There I saw that Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, was playing on his flute in the pasturing grounds. He brought Srimati Radharani to a bower by signaling with his flute. Then he entered within that bower to perform pastimes with her. I entered the bower just behind Krishna, my ears captivated by the sound of his ornaments. I saw Krishna and the gopis enjoying all kinds of pastimes while laughing and joking together. Hearing their vocal expressions, it enhanced the joy of my ears. And then all of you, made a tumultuous sound and brought me back here by force. Because you brought me back here, I could no longer hear the nectarian voices of Krishna and the gopis. Nor could I hear the sounds of their ornaments or the flute.
In great ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Swarup Damodar in a faltering voice,
My ears, my ears are dying of thirst. Oh, please recite something to quench this thirst. Let me hear it.
Understanding the ecstatic emotions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar in a sweet voice recited the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam.
My dear Lord Krishna, where is that woman within the three worlds who cannot be captivated by the rhythms of the sweet songs coming from your wonderful flute? Who cannot fall down from the path of chastity in this way? Your beauty is most sublime within the three worlds. Upon seeing your beauty, even cows, birds, animals, and trees in the forest are stunned in jubilation.
Upon hearing this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, overwhelmed with the ecstasy of the gopis, began to explain it. He said,
The gopis, they entered the arena of the Ras dance in ecstasy. But after hearing Krishna's words of negligence and detachment, they understood that he was going to renounce them. Thus they began to chastise him in anger. They said, Oh, dear lover, please answer just one question. Who among all the youthful women within this universe is not attracted by the sound of your flute? When you play your flute, It acts like a messenger in the form of a yogini, perfect in the art of chanting mantras. This messenger enchants all the women in the universe and attracts them to you. Then she increases their great anxiety and induces them to give up the regulative principles of obeying superiors. Finally, she forcibly brings them to you to surrender in amorous love. The vibration of your flute, accompanied by your glance, which pierces us forcibly with the arrows of lust, induces us to ignore the regulative principles of religious life. Thus, we become excited by lusty desires and come to you, giving up all shame and fear. But now you are angry with us. You are finding fault with our violating religious principles and leaving our homes and husbands. And as you instruct us about religious principles, we become helpless. We know that this is all a well-planned trick. You know how to make jokes that cause the complete annihilation of women. But we can understand that your real mind, words, and behavior, we know they're different. Therefore, please give up all these clever tricks. the nectarine buttermilk of your flute's vibration, the nectar of your sweet words, and the nectarine sound of your ornaments mixed together to attract our ears, minds, and lives. Oh, Krishna, in this way you are killing us.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke these words in a mood of anger as he floated on waves of ecstatic love. Merged in an ocean of anxiety, he recited a verse spoken by Srimati Radharani expressing the same emotions. Then he personally explained the verse and thus tasted the sweetness of Krishna. He continued,
"My dear friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has a voice as deep as a cloud resounding in the sky. With the tinkling of his ornaments, he attracts the ears of the gopis, and with the sound of his flute, he attracts even the goddess of fortune and other beautiful women. The personality of Godhead known as Madan Mohan, whose joking words carry many indications and deep meanings, is increasing the lusty desires of my ears. Krishna's deep voice is more resonant than newly arrived clouds, and his sweet song defeats even the sweet voice of the cuckoo. Indeed, his song, it is so sweet that even one particle of its sound can inundate the entire world. If such a particle enters one's ear, one is immediately bereft of all other types of hearing. My dear friend, please tell me what to do. My ears have been plundered by the qualities of Krishna's sound. Now, however, I cannot hear his transcendental sound, and I am almost dead for want of it. The tinkling of Krishna's ankle bells surpasses the songs of even the swan and crane, and the sound of his bangles puts the singing of the chatak bird to shame. Having allowed these sounds to enter the ears even once, one cannot tolerate hearing anything else. Krishna's speech, his speech, it is far sweeter than nectar. Each of his jubilant words is full of meaning, and when his speech mixes with his smile, which is like camphor, the resultant sound and the deep meaning of Krishna's words, they create various transcendental mellows. One particle of that transcendental blissful nectar is the life and soul of the ear, which is like a chakora bird that lives in hope of tasting that nectar. Sometimes, by good fortune, the bird can taste it, but at other times, he unfortunately cannot, and therefore almost dies of thirst. The transcendental vibration of Krishna's flute disturbs the hearts of women all over the world, even if they hear it only once. Thus their fastened belts become loose, and these women become the unpaid maidservants of Krishna. Indeed, they run toward Krishna exactly like mad women. When she hears the vibration of Krishna's flute, even the goddess of fortune comes to him, greatly hoping for his association. But nevertheless, she does not get it. When the waves of thirst for his association increase, she performs austerities, but still she cannot meet him. Only the most fortunate can hear these four nectarine sounds. Krishna's words, the tinkling of his ankle bells and bangles, his voice, and the vibration of his flute. If one does not hear these sounds, his ears are as useless as small conch shells with holes. while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lamented in this way, agitation and ecstasy awoke in his mind, and he became very restless. Many transcendental ecstasies combined in him, including anxiety, lamentation, attention, eagerness, fear, determination, and remembrance. The aggregate of all these ecstasies awoke a statement by Srimati Radharani in the mind of Bilvamangal Thakur. In the same ecstatic mood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now recited that verse, and on the strength of madness, he described its meaning, which is unknown to people in general. He said,
"Alas, what shall I do? To whom shall I speak? Let whatever I have done in hopes of meeting Krishna, oh, let it be finished now. Please say something auspicious, but do not speak about Krishna. Alas, Krishna is lying within my heart like Cupid. Therefore, how can I possibly give up talking of him? I cannot forget Krishna, whose smile is sweeter than sweetness itself, and who gives pleasure to my mind and ears. Alas, my great thirst for Krishna is increasing moment by moment. The anxiety caused by separation from Krishna has made me impatient, and I can think of no way to meet him. Oh, my friends, you are also deranged by lamentation. Who, therefore, will tell me how to find him? Oh, my dear friends, how shall I find Krishna? What shall I do? Where shall I go? Where can I meet him? Because I cannot find Krishna, my life is leaving me."
Suddenly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became calm and considered his state of mind. He remembered the words of Pingala, and this aroused an ecstasy that moved him to speak. Thus he explained the meaning of the verse. He said,
"If I give up hope of meeting Krishna, I shall then be happy. Therefore, let us stop this most inglorious discussion of Krishna. It would be better for us to talk of glorious topics and forget him." While speaking in this way, Srimati Radharani suddenly remembered Krishna. Indeed, he appeared within her heart. Greatly astonished, she told her friends, "The person I want to forget, he's lying in my heart." Srimati Radharani's ecstasy also made her think of Krishna as Cupid, and this understanding frightened her, she said. "This Cupid, who has conquered the whole world, he has entered my heart, and he is my greatest enemy, for he does not allow me to forget him." Then great eagerness conquered all the other soldiers of ecstasy, and an uncontrollable desire arose in the kingdom of Srimati Radharani's mind. Greatly unhappy, she then chastised her own mind. "If I do not think of Krishna, my impoverished mind will die within a moment like a fish out of water. But when I see Krishna's sweetly smiling face, my mind and eyes are so pleased that my desire for him redoubles. Alas, where is Krishna, the treasure of my life? Where is the lotus-eyed one? Alas, where is the divine ocean of all transcendental qualities? Alas, where is the beautiful blackish youth dressed in yellow garments? Alas, where is the hero
of the Ras Dance. Where shall I go? Where can I find you? Please tell me, and I shall go there.
Speaking in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began running. Svarup Damodar Goswami, however, stood up, caught him, and took him on his lap. Then Svarup Damodar brought him back to his place and made him sit down. Suddenly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to external consciousness and said to Svarup Damodar Goswami, "My dear Svarup, please sing some sweet songs." The Lord's ears were satisfied when he heard Svarup Damodar sing songs from Gita Govinda and those by the poet Vidyapati. Each day and night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would become deranged in this way and talk like a madman. Even Ananta Dev, who possesses thousands of mouths, cannot fully describe the ecstatic transformations that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experienced in a single day. What can a poor creature like me describe of those transformations? I can give only a hint of them, as if showing the moon through the branches of a tree. This description, however, will satisfy the mind and ears of anyone who hears it, and he will be able to understand these uncommon activities of deep ecstatic love for Krishna. Ecstatic love for Krishna is wonderfully deep. By personally tasting the glorious sweetness of that love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us its extreme limit. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is wonderfully merciful and wonderfully magnanimous. We have heard of no one else within this world so merciful and charitable. Worship the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in all respects. Only in this way will you achieve the nectarian treasure of ecstatic love for Krishna. Thus I have described Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic transformation of becoming like a tortoise. In that ecstasy, he talked and acted like a madman. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami has fully described this pastime in his book, Gauranga Stava Kalpavriksha. He said, "How wonderful it is! Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left his residence without opening the three strongly bolted doors. Then he crossed over three high walls, and later, because of strong feelings of separation from Krishna, he fell down amidst the cows of the Tailanga district and retracted all the limbs of his body like a tortoise. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared in that way, rises in my heart and maddens me." Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Priyatetadadhar Jivasadi Gaurasabhunda. This ends Chapter 17 of the Antya Leela, the bodily transformations of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.